Okay, so we're moving into the Parsha of Ve'ahavta. Rabbi Yechiel Spero tells us that every one of the psukim in the Parsha of Ve'ahavta starts with the letter Vav and ends with the letter Chaf. And the reason for this is he tells us Vav is a connector. It connects two words, two sentences, two thoughts. And what we're trying to do here is we're trying to connect to Hashem. So how does one connect to Hashem? So from that, we learn from the letter Chaf how one connects to Hashem. A Chaf is really a kaf without a dagesh. And a kaf, or a kaf, is a spoon. It's also the root of the word kafuf, meaning bent. And in fact, the spoon is nothing more than a bent receptacle, since it is bent, it's able to hold what's placed inside of it. And if we wish to attach ourselves to Hashem and love Him as we're meant to, then we must bend ourselves to His will. And that is how we make ourselves into receptacles, a kli kibul, to hold the Torah and all it stands for. This is the will of Hashem, and this provides our connection to Him. So the parasha starts, and we start V'yahavta Hashem Elokecha. And there's a difference of opinion whether reciting of this parasha is a mitzvah say midoraisa or midorabanan. However, be that as it may, the mitzvah of loving Hashem is certainly midoraisa, as is evident from our pasuk and is repeated several times throughout the Torah. The Gemara tells us, "Kol akara kriya shma b'lo tefillin ki'ilu meid edus sheker b'atzma." One who merely exercises lip service of mitzvos, he reads kriya shma without wearing tefillin. Since we mentioned tefillin in the parsha, it's as if he's testifying falsely. It's as if he's lying to Hashem. And the Chafetz Chaim says that similarly, one who merely mouths the words of Yahavta but does not feel any love towards Hashem at that moment, he too is made edus sheker. He too is lying to Hashem. B'chol levavcha, the love of Hashem is based first and foremost on the knowledge that Hashem exists. One cannot love an idea or a philosophical concept. One can only love something that actually exists. And not only does He exist, but He relates to each individual personally. This personal relationship is described in the Torah as panim b'fanim dibar Hashem imachem. And the Chovos HaLevavos explains that the basic reason for Avos Hashem is out of gratitude for the fact He created us. Each person's to think that Hashem created me although He did not need me. The world existed previously without me and will continue to exist after me. Furthermore, we love Hashem not only for creating us as human beings who can eat and sleep, earn a living, procreate, and generally enjoy life, but especially because He created us as members of Bnei Yisrael. And even more, we love Hashem because He created each and every one of us with the potential of earning eternal life, lesanig al Hashem, to enjoy the pleasure of the closeness of Hashem in Olam Haba, where one can enjoy the highest possible form of bliss and happiness and total peace and serenity. B'chol levavcha, we know, is written plural, as a double heart, and the Gemara tells us this refers to the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. And the Rambam describes the love for Hashem with one's Yetzer Tov as a love that's even greater than the love that man has for a woman. If a man is in love with a woman, we know he cannot think of anything else. No matter what he does, she's always on his mind. And if those that are married think back to when we were chasanim, you know, when we first get married, that there's nothing else on our minds at that time, no matter what we're doing, other than our kalor or wife, you know, at that time. And that is what the love of husband and wife is, man to a woman, and this is even more so by us and Hashem. And this is so because He knows that she's personally interested in Him as an individual. And the comparison, therefore, is quite obvious. If I know that Hashem is interested in me personally, otherwise I would not wake up each morning, and that He's forgiving of me, despite the fact that I have done so many things that were wrong, I become overwhelmed with love for Him because of His goodness toward me. And this is the desire of the Yetzer Tov. However, the Yetzer Ra has another agenda, namely to urge us to do the opposite of what Hashem wants us to do. And it's not simply an urge, it's a fascination, a strong desire to oppose the will of Hashem. And through the Yetzer Hara, one can even desire a sense of momentary pleasure for opposing the will of Hashem. So Shimon Schwab asks, how can one love Hashem with his Yetzer Hara? So he brings Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, who explains the conversation Hashem had with Cain after he had only accepted Hevel's carbon. And Hashem said to Cain, "Halo im seitiv se'es, if you will do good and control your urge to harm your brother, you will rise to a high level. You will become a great person." The desire to do something bad is nothing to be ashamed of. If one has the urge, the opportunity to steal or to cheat or to commit an immoral act with impunity, and he overcomes his desire and does not sin, he becomes a greater person for it. Each time he overcomes these desires, he rises to a higher level, he becomes se'es. However, v'im lo seitiv l'pesachat esrovetz, if you do not do good, then as soon as you open the door, the sin will be quietly lying there. And then it says, ve'elecha tishukasov atatim shalbov, the Yetzirah is not only our deadly enemy per se, but rather Hashem created this force for the purpose, really, to be subjugated by man. By nature, it wants to lie peacefully under the control of man. And Rav Hirsch continues and says the same applies to the relationship of a man and a woman. There, too, we find a similar word, velishech teshukaseich v'hu yim shel bach. The normal relationship between a husband and a wife should be such that the wife wants the husband to be someone for her to look up to. She wants him to guide her. And the same is with the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Ra. The Yetzer Ra, by its normal nature, has the desire to be controlled by the Yetzer Tov. The Yetzer Ra, with all its fascination for evil, wants by its created nature to be controlled by man's ability to overcome it with its Yetzer Tov. And this is how one loves Hashem with his Yetzer Ra, by subjugating one's evil inclinations. The Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah explained that when a person performs a mitzvah saseh, this is another way of serving Hashem through his Yetzer Tov. And when he refrains from sinning, in that way he's serving Hashem with the Yetzer Hara. Another explanation for this double heart is given by Rashi. Rashi says, Shlo yehe libcha choluk al hamokom el shetia hava elav yisparab cholavavcha. Your heart shall not be divided toward Hashem, but rather the love for Hashem shall be with the wholeness of your heart. And Shimon Schwab explains that the meaning of the heart being divided toward Hashem is a function of one's free will, of one's bechira. Hashem has given us free will, freedom of choice, and we're the only creature created that has this ability. When we say b'chol levavcha, we're telling Hashem we renounce our bechira. This voluntary relinquishing of our bechira to Hashem is called our Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. And Rechiel Sparrow tells us that the word levavcha, as we know, ends with a chaf, and it shows a personal ownership. It means yours and your heart. Meaning your heart and my heart are not the same. And Hashem is only asking you to love Him with all of your own heart. B'chol nafshecha, Chazal tell us this means, afilu hu notals nafshecha, even if He takes your soul. And this refers to the moment of death when Hashem takes one's soul away from His body. And Rav Shimon Schwab tells us, it says, ki alecha haragnu kol hayom, we are killed for you, for your sake, every day. And Chazal say this refers to the daily Kriyashma, which we resolve to allow ourselves to be killed, if necessary, in the fulfillment of the Ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol nafshecha. At that moment, when a person resolves to allow himself to be killed for Kiddush Hashem, the resolution itself is considered as if the person had already offered his life for Hashem. And one's required to give up his life for the three cardinal sins, Gilui Aroyos, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah. One is also required to do so b'shas Hashmad, at a time when he's asked publicly to admit and show that he's abandoned his faith. And the Gemara gives an example of just changing the way one ties his shoelaces. I think Tosus there says they asked him to change the color because the Jews had one color, the Goyim had a different color. That in a Shas Hashmad, even there he would have to give up his life. B'chol ma'odecha. The word ma'od means very much. And the literal meaning here is that we are commanded to love Hashem with all the means at our disposal, including everything that we love very much. And this means that one is to love Hashem so much that if circumstances arise under which one has to lose all of his possessions in order to abide by his will, he must do so. And the Gemara explains that this pasuk refers to a person who loves his money even more than he loves his life. That yesh l'cha adam shemamono chavav alav migufo l'kach nema b'chol modecha. There are people whose money is more chavav, is more love to them, more than their own physical body, their life, their nefesh, and therefore it says b'chol modecha. And this refers again to the three cardinal averos, and most achronim say to all other lavim also. And Rav Shimon Schwab suggests another meaning. He says it means very muchness. And this would refer to the extra talents or abilities which Hashem has given a person, ma'od, more than he has given to other people. and that we serve Hashem by sharing these talents, for His honor. Another meaning, as we know, is b'chol mida u'mida shumodei l'cha ha'imodilo. And Rashi explains this, that we are to love Hashem regardless of which measures He assigns to us, be that a good measure or one that involves punishment. And every human being is totally unique. He's different from any other person that was ever created, and no one will ever be exactly like him. No one can possibly understand one's happiness or one's pain. It is totally personal. As it says, Lev Yodei Maris Nafsho Uvsimchaso Lo Yisarev Zar. And therefore, we're serving Hashem B'chol Modecha, because only we know how we feel, whether it's a good moment that Hashem is giving us, or Chas HaShalom, it's a moment of punishment, of pain. It's only us that know what we feel. V'hoyu hadvarim ha'ela asher anochi mitzavcha hayom. Hadvarim ha'ela refers to the immediately preceding psukim of Shman V'ahavta. And Rashi on these words asks, Umahu ha'ava, what is the love? And he says, Shemitoch kach atem makir b'Hashem u'mdabik b'drochav. That there's only one way for a person to recognize and to love Hashem, and that has to be aware of the fact that these words of the Shema and V'ahavta are directed at him personally. Asher anochi mitzavcha. Although a person may think he does not deserve to be addressed personally by Hashem due to his shortcomings and mistakes, nevertheless, Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Hayom teaches us that if a person makes up his mind that starting today, Hayom, he wishes to accept the commandments of Hashem, then he's established a personal relationship with Hashem, in which he personally receives these commandments, Mitzavcha, directly from Hashem. Rashi, quoting the Sefri, states that Hayom tells us that each new day a person can make a new beginning and re-accept the mitzvahs upon him as if they were brand new, and he should not consider the mitzvahs of Hashem as some ancient proclamation, but rather one is encouraged to embrace them as if they were newly ordained laws which people are eager to accept. Al-Levavcha, these laws are to be accepted upon the heart of each person as binding himself to the extent that as a result of Hashem's laws, he gives up his freedom of choice concerning them. The declaration of Shema Yisrael and the corresponding mitzvah of Ahoyu Hadvarim Ha'ela Asher Anochi Mitzav Chayom Alev Avecha, which contains the first and second persons, the you and the I, are a representation of a personal relationship between man and Hashem. Each person, as we said, is to feel that Hashem is addressing him personally, with a fresh and new message every day of our lives, Hayom. We do not keep the mitzvahs as tradition, but rather we carry on a personal relationship with Hashem whenever we learn His Torah and keep His mitzvahs. Vishinantam livanecha. This is explained by Chazal to mean sheyu divrei Torah mechudadim beficha. The words of Torah are to be sharply expressed by your mouth. The idea is that the teaching of Torah is to be done in a sharp and precise manner, to produce a clear understanding of the subject matter under study. The Gemara offers another explanation and says, Al tikri vishinantam, don't read it as vishinantam, ela vishilashtam, meaning that it's necessary to learn the subject matter at least three times. Repeating a subject matter captures it in one's mind for a long period of time. Vidibarta bum. Rashi brings us a free, shlo ye ikr diburcha ela bum, asem ikr valtasem tofel. That your main conversation should be about Torah and mitzvos. Make them primary, do not make them secondary. And Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch finds in the Sifri the source of teaching secular subjects. So long as the Torah remains primary and the secular subjects remain secondary to it. B'shivtecha b'veisecha v'lechtecha v'aderech. The Gemara derives from here the obligation to reach Shema in one's home or while traveling refers only to those times when he's engaged in his own personal pursuits, b'shivtecha uvelechtecha. However, if one is occupied with a dvar mitzvah, whether at home or while traveling, he is pater from the mitzvah of kriyashma, and this is the source of ha'osik b'mitzvah, pater min a mitzvah. One who's osik in one mitzvah is pater from a second mitzvah. Uveshachbecha uvkumecha, this refers to the mitzvah of kriyashma of shachris and arvis, which is to be performed at the time when people usually go to sleep and when they normally arise. And even if one's personal habits and schedules differ from the norm, he's still obligated to recite Kriya Shema at these proper times. Ukshartam los al yadecha, the tefillin is placed on the bicep, on the zroa, the upper part of the arm, and it's lezikaron zeroin etuya. It's neged halev, leshabit bazet tavos umachshavos libenu lavadaso yisparach shemo. It's opposite our heart to help us control the urges and instincts of our heart, for the purpose of serving Hashem. Now the connection between the human bicep and the Zerona Tuya of Hashem, which is a metaphor for His almightiness and His power over the forces of nature, is that Hashem has given each and every one of us a Zerona Tuya as well. Just as Hashem controls nature, so has He given us the power to control our own nature. And that's the meaning of Neged HaLev. The power of the human being to control his animal urges and instincts is symbolically expressed by putting out tefillin on the muscle that controls the movement of the arm. It's expressed as al yadcha, because the primary lesson of the tefillin shel yad is for us to utilize the power that we have the control over our activities, over our hands. Vayula totefos bein einecha, Tosis explains totefos as headgear or crown worn on one's head. Bein einecha teaches us the proper place on the head, which is the fontanelle, the soft part, when a baby is born. The word tatfos is a compound word consisting of two words from two different languages. Both of them mean two. Tat in Caspian means two, and pas in one of the African languages likewise means two. And this is a reference to the double set of the two parashas of tefillin. The two different languages correspond to the two different messages of the tefillin. The two parashas of Kadosh Libachar and Vahaya Kiviyacha correspond to the Kedushas HaGuf. And the other two parashas of Shema and Vahayim Shemaya correspond to the Kedusha of the Neshama. We continue, Chsavtam al Mezuzos Beisecha. The Torah Shabbal Peh teaches us that the two parashas of the Mezuzah are to be written on parchment and placed on the doorpost. And it further stipulates that only one of the doorposts need a mezuzah. And this is alluded by the fact that the word mezuzos is written with only one vav. At the end of Hilchas Mezuzah, the Rambam writes, Kol zman sheikonis v'yetze yifka b'yichur Hashem Shmo shel Kodesh Baruch Hu v'yizkar v'yeyer mishnaso ushkiyosa v'havle azman. That when one comes and goes, he should be aware of the existence of the one God, remembering his love for Hashem. And this will awaken him from his sleep and his erroneous ways in his fleeting life. And Rav Shimon Schwab explains this means that most people are usually not fully awake and do not think of the important things in the world. And when one passes a mezuzah, it should remind him of Hashem, which will wake him up so that he can correct the errors of his ways in a temporal and fleeting world. The only other place that the Rambam uses this expression of v'yer mishnaso is in connection with the message of Tekiah Shofar. The Rambam then continues, says, V'yeda shein dover ha'omeid la'olam ulolmei alamim el yediyas sur ha'olam u'miyad hu choze l'dayto v'holich b'darche yisharim. When he passes the mezuzah, he should remind himself that nothing is permanent except the knowledge of Hashem, meaning His knowledge of us and our knowledge of Him, if we make a connection with Him. The mezuzah is the doorpost which witnesses the comings and goings of a person. Since everything in life is constantly changing, there will come a time when neither the person nor the house will be there any longer. The only thing that does not change is Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And when one leaves his house and thinks of the permanence of Hashem, he wakes up and becomes aware of his own mortality. And that maybe this will be the last time he will walk out of his house. Maybe he will not come home, and even if he does, maybe the next time he'll be carried out of his home. This will certainly wake him up and make him think of what Hashem wants of him in this world. The message of the mezuzah is that one's house and possessions are fleeting, and the only real permanence is the yediyas sur ha'olamim, meaning the rock-like permanence of Hashem. Rechiel Sparrow tells us, says the mezuzah is a reminder that while we cannot control the outside environment, the culture and the influences that surround us, we can't control what comes in and out of our own homes. And we must guard our homes, he says, to make sure that they remain safe and secure from all these outside influences. Uvisharecha, these are the public gates of the streets or the cities of Eretz Yisrael, which we will once again fulfill under the control of the Malchus of Hashem. So to tie the whole parasha together, Rav Shimon Schwab tells us that we say V'hayu Advarim Ha'ele refers to the psukim of Shema and V'ahavta. And these include the obligation of giving away one's bechira, one's life, and one's possessions in the pursuit of this Avas Hashem, to promote Kiddush Hashem in the world. And it is this obligation which we are to teach our children, to teach them that this is our main task in life. And furthermore, these truths are to be written and placed in our tefillin and placed in our mezuzahs, which are placed on our doorposts. Now for the story and then the homework. So this is a letter that was written by Rav Shimshon Pinkus to a struggling bacher, teaching him the koach of davening. And he writes, Dear Yossi, I've read your letter, and I don't feel that I'm on the level to give you etzos, to give you advice on what you should do in this situation. However, I will tell you what my humble opinion is. I understand from your letter that you're doing your best to grow in Torah and Yerush Shemayim. And so I believe that you've done proper hishtadlus, proper effort already. Now, though, I believe you have reached a point in your life where you're going to need some outside help to get you where you have to go. This is because to grow in Torah and to have a desire to learn is not a simple feat, and you need someone to help lead you on the road to success. I am enclosing the name and address of someone who can certainly help you solve all your problems. Please send your request to him. They call him Hashem. He is very strong, and as we know, he created the entire world. And I know for a fact that he loves you as well, and is waiting for you to turn to him for assistance. It will not be difficult at all for you to find his address, because he is found in every place in the world. Even during this moment, when you're reading this letter, you are able to turn to him. I'm writing this to you because many people think that tefillah is about performing a mitzvah or reaching a high level. Although that is true, that is not the main thing. The main thing about tefillah is recognizing that Hashem is Chai V'Chayim, alive and exists. That you can make a personal relationship with Him, and He will never forsake one who does so. And know that the more practical and simple the thing you need, the better off you will be. Talk to Hashem about the problems facing you, and keep on asking Hashem to help you until He answers your prayer. Forget about seeking out help elsewhere. Go to the one who can truthfully help you solve your problems. Grab on to Him and never let go until you have obtained all of your heart's desires. And signed off, all the best, Shimshon David Pinkus. So we see that, you know, again, if we make Hashem real and we build that relationship, which is a lot what we discussed in the parasha of Yahavta, and we connect back to Hashem, then it's much easier and we're able to talk to Him and turn to Him for whatever the need might be. And it's not dafka during the davening, but could really be at any time of the day we can turn to Him and make our requests of Him. And in that way, you know, Hashem will respond to our tefillos. And the homework, obviously, is to think about what we spoke about at least one shachris, or it could be one ma'ariv since Vahavta is done a couple times a day, but at least once during the week while you're saying the parashah Vahavta, to think about some of what we've gone through and what we are saying at that time.